Okay, very good. I just want to see Keith's face. There's Keith. There we are. Okay, we're ready?
Okay, here we go. Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again. I'm Rachel Tipton, mom, realtor, and creator of The Closing Curve.
And I'm Gina Tremarco, founder and sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv. And let's hear it from the man behind the microphone.
Hey, ladies, this is Keith.
Hey, Keith.
I just love doing that. It's so awesome when Rachel and I can be in the same room and make eye contact and be in unison.
And they look so awesome together.
We do.
Aww, we're so cute.
Blonde and brunette. What more could you ask for?
Once you're finally all healed up from all your various surgeries, we got to get out and do some... We were talking about doing some shenanigans about town. There was a period when we first, remember when we did that photo?
You messaged me yesterday about shenanigans.
Yeah, I'm feeling shenanigan-y. So, do you remember the first?
We need.
I made that word up. It's not a real word, I don't think. Remember when we did the first photo shoot with Caitlin Guild, who was one of our first guests? And then we had the idea of doing like a photo shoot of Lucy and
Ethel, yeah.
Lucy and Ethel. And if you guys out there, Warners, if you go and Google Lucy and Ethel together, it really is, it's like Gina and Rachel, because their faces are just, they're just, that's how we are. Like, just looking at those images is like literally describes in photos how Gina and I are together. So we need to recreate some of that.
We do need some, we do need some candid photos. That's been requested of us for our Facebook ads.
That's what I'm saying. Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. What we really need are shenanigans together in Dallas.
Oh, well.
Slumber party at Keith's house.
Do I have to go to Dallas?
Well, I'm saying we could do roadshow shenanigans.
Ooh.
And stay at Keith's house.
How about late night podcast from the bar?
Oh, you have a bar in your house?
Well, I do, but I was thinking more about the bar out in the public.
Well, I mean,
and seeing how everybody reacts.
I think Doug would kill us because the audio would be bad. We already have enough problems. Although he says we can have bad audio for like Facebook specials, like we only play the episode on Facebook.
See?
We could do that. And we did miss, this is a Wednesday that we're recording, so it's a hump day and we're missing our quickie tip day.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
We might need to quickie tip real fast before I leave.
We could.
Okay. And one day we'll get Keith on Facebook. Anyway, we need to, we're on a time schedule today, so we need to jump into this episode. And I think what we've decided we're talking about is creativity and humor in sales, in the selling process. And Keith had a really good story he started to share with us. And if we can jump in, and I have a really cool story to share. And I'm sure Rachel has a really cool story to share. So this is about being creative and trying to find the funny in what you do. So Keith, can you share that story you shared with us earlier?
I will. And, you know, I've got a number of creative sales stories, and I think they all fall into the category of pattern interrupt. You know, buyers are used to this typical sales pattern. And when you can be creative in the sales process and you interrupt basic expectations, then you get the attention. But this happened years ago, so I think I'm okay sharing the names. But at that point, years and years ago, we were trying to land Frito-Lay as a client, and we had gone through the sales process and created the interest, and they were going to come visit our site, and we had a couple hundred people on the site. And so what we did, we stole this a little bit from a PR firm here in Dallas called the Richards Group, but everybody in our offices had Frito-Lay products on their desk and eating Frito-Lay products, be it Doritos or Fritos or Grandma's cookies, and they're all over the office. And everybody had a Pepsi product from a drink perspective. They're part of the same company. And it was just so obvious and over the top when you walked into our office, just everywhere you looked, you know, people are walking around up and down the hall, holding bags of Fritos and munching as they walk by. And so we had this all staged, and it was cheesy, if you will, but it was so over the top. It was funny, and the Frito people really appreciated it. We got notes about it, and they ended up becoming a very nice client of ours.
That's awesome. Shock and awe campaign, really, isn't it?
That's an awesome story. I have a story. There was a Fortune 500 company that I will leave nameless for this that pursued us, found us online. It's one of those inbound calls to develop a sales training program for all of their field reps. And they specifically wanted an improv-based company. And they found our website, reached out to me. When I called the VP back, he was excited. He's like, I was the only one who had called back so far. And it was a very long process, learning process. But when he told me that there was going to be a bidding process, and you know they were going to have, three bidders, I knew I had to find a way to stand out, because I had a feeling I knew who the competitors were for me that they would be reaching out to, and they were bigger and badder. So I wanted to try to really kind of capture his attention. And this is a company based in the South, and so a lot of times companies based in the South do like to have a longer personal conversation. So our initial call went on for about 30 minutes personal conversation before we got to business. And he talked about, he wanted to know why there weren't a lot of good seafood restaurants in Myrtle Beach besides Red Lobster. And so we had this, and he's like, and there's like always a 2-hour wait when we come to Myrtle Beach to go to Red Lobster. And I said, well, it is kind of sad. We don't really have the best seafood places here at the ocean. And Red Lobster is it. So I sent him a Lobstergram. If you're not familiar with it, go to Lobstergram. They should be a sponsor. And I sent him lobster tails with crab cakes and drawn butter, and it comes in a dry ice box. So I sent that to him. I'm like, it's better than Red Lobster. So I was trying to like stay top of mind and have his attention. And he called me as soon as he got it. And like his call was literally, he couldn't even say the words hello. All he could do was laugh. And he was laughing the whole time before he could say hello. And then he finally said hello. He's like, you have no idea. All my employees are in my office right now because this box came of dry ice. And like everybody thought, like, is there a head in there? Like, did someone die? It created like, and I didn't even think about that process of like dry ice and all that. But it became this thing that got everyone's attention in the office. Now, we did make it to the top three for bidders. We did not get the contract, and I was okay with that for a number of reasons why we didn't get the contract. Cause that's a whole nother story about, really knowing who your ideal client is. And they were not necessarily ideal for us, but it definitely got us to the table, and it was a really big table cause we had to make one of those big pitches in front of like 20 people and pitch. I felt like I was in a episode of Mad Men, because there were cigarettes around. That's the only thing I will say about the industry of that client.
That's awesome, Lobstergram. Well, I think the theme of our story so far is using creative methods in order to stand out from your competition. And if you are in real estate, you know that everyone you speak to can either call their sister, friend, brother-in-law, or spit and hit a realtor. So there's so many around, and everyone knows one. So the key is to stand out in the marketplace as number one, as the expert, but also you just have to stand out. And I can't right at this moment think of any stories that are more creative than this one of a lady that did a house tour video. And you know, most of the house tour videos that you see are kind of boring, and you're like, I mean, you want to see what the house looks like and you want to see the features of the house in this video. But this realtor, and I'll have to find the video because it's fantastic. She goes into every, she stands in front of the house and then goes to every room of the house and also outside and is standing there doing the floss, doing the flossing dance. She's flossing. Do you know the, what that is?
No.
You don't know what flossing is?
You mean like flossing your teeth?
No, no. It's a dance.
I don't know what this dance
is. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, oh, my gosh. So we have to put this in the show notes.
The entire rest of the world knows what flossing is, except for Keith. Do you know what flossing is?
Okay, Keith doesn't know.
He's
either.
Looking it up right now.
Not that you can do in public.
Okay, so anyway, all of you out there that have a child, you know what flossing is because they're all doing it. Here, I'll show you really quick. Hold this. It goes like this.
Okay. Oh my God. Oh my God, Rachel, stop.
It's this dance.
Oh, the flossing dance. Yeah.
So she knows what it is. She just didn't know what it was called.
I call it the Urkel.
No, that's not the Urkel.
Okay.
The flossing is newer than. Anyways, so flossing.
We're going to actually have to take. We're going to have to do like a video of you doing that, and then we'll put that. Yes, we're going to do that, and then I'm going to put it
teaching
in our,
you how to floss.
Well, no, I'm going to put it in our Facebook. On our Facebook page. Of
well,
you doing
then
the
we
dance.
Need to bring Roxy in because she's way better at flossing. I mean, I'm a semi, mostly all the time retired dancer, but I don't floss well according to Roxy, but she's really great at it. It's a kid thing, so we'll do a video with Roxy. But anyways, back to my story.
So she flosses. The realtor, she does a flossing dance in every room.
Yeah, and it's hilarious. Now, as a dancer, I of course, you know me, and because I come up with a million ideas, I'm like, okay, I could do that. But maybe I'll add in some other dances because it gets a little old after a while, the floss, you
like
know.
Like a stripper pole?
No.
You can bring a portable one to the houses.
Although, you know, there was this other, a little small tangent. There was this house that was all over social media recently that a realtor had taken pictures of this house and it had like a 50 Shades of Grey kind of room downstairs dungeon. And the fact that the realtor included these pictures, it was very classy. It was very well done. And I, of course, for some reason, can't understand why, had several people send me this listing for me to look at just because they thought I might be interested. And of course, I was immediately like, yeah, I already saw it. And this thing went viral very quickly because everybody wanted to see these pictures of this, you know, adult chamber in this house. Very beautifully well done, high class, you know, adult chamber. But the thing went viral, and the fact that they included those pictures, it got seen by everybody. I mean, wasn't necessarily super creative, but it was creative that they thought they should include it. Then they removed the pictures, so you can't find it anymore. But
can you recommend somebody, I'm writing here, can you recommend somebody who can do a high class dungeon?
I'm sure that I can. I have a lot of connections.
Wait, but can we get back to the flossing? So what was her strategy? Was she flossing in front of people?
No, she was just, to my point, because I got off on several tangents there, is that she was using a creative method to show the house, that it was just engaging and it was funny. It's funny. She's got like a funny song playing. And
so it was a video?
Yeah, it was a video.
Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that.
Oh, sorry. I think I said that, though.
You probably did.
That she, and so she does the video through the house. But most house videos are kind of, it's hard to make a, you know, a 3-2 house that's in the neighborhood through full of houses that look the same, you know, stand out in the crowd. But that one got seen. I'm sure she sold the house. And it was just a creative way also for her to stand out as a realtor of like, oh my gosh, she's so funny. And she became, you know, social media famous over it.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that's something that can go virtual.
Viral.
Viral. Virtual. Yeah, virtual and viral. It's virtually viral.
But I mean, the thing about it is people are all over social media anyways. They are. If you're sitting there and standing in line, you're sitting there at the doctor's office, you're standing in line, you're looking at your phone, everybody's doing it unless they really are, you know, unless they're Keith and they're not looking at Facebook.
Right.
Well, so if you want to stand
out.
He's
just private how he does it.
Uh-huh. So if you'd like to stand out in that space, and it's really hard to because there's so much noise and the algorithms and all of that are limiting what people are seeing, you got to do something creative to stand out. It can't just be run-of-the-mill humdrum shit anymore, because it's, you know, people want to see something interesting.
Put a dungeon in your house and dress up as a realtor, as the dominatrix selling the house, you know, so that will
am working on an alter ego, because I'm reading The Alter Ego Effect, but it's not quite that extreme.
This is Rachel. You will buy the house, damn it.
Hey, you know, Stranger Things have probably worked selling real estate.
You know, Rachel, you and I we had this conversation yesterday about alter ego, and because we're both performers, do you remember this conversation? We talked about how as performers, we're able to okay, this is the role I'm taking on right now in sales. And again, that's a creativity thing, that you have to be able to play the part. And that doesn't mean not being yourself, but you have to play different parts in the sales conversation that are going to best connect with someone. And that again comes back down to emotional intelligence, being able to read someone and then playing the part that works for them and makes them comfortable.
For sure. I mean, this podcast might turn into an audiobook promotional book, but this Alter Ego Effect book is fantastic, because he talks about, especially if you're in sales, and you know, like, a certain thing is holding you back. Like, the alter ego that I'm working on now, so, like, being on the phone, most people have resistance to getting on the phone. But if you can kind of put your superhero cape on, whatever form that may be, it could be a baseball cap, it could be your glasses, it could be changing your voice, just to go into another creative space for yourself, so that it's not really feeling personal anymore when you get the inevitable no's and rejections that happen, that in turn makes people afraid to make those sales calls. So I've actually been having a lot of fun with it, playing around with an alter ego of, like, my alter ego, and I'm not going to tell you her name because she's secret. She loves
Svetlana?
Getting on the phone, and she loves, you know, she loves the most when people say no and resist. It's great.
Ooh. So you bring up the whole calling thing, which is another area of creativity. You know, for folks who are doing business to business again, and they're doing cold calling, you know, some creative tips. I had one guy work for me. He was from Britain, and he'd been in the U.S. for quite a while, but he worked so hard to cultivate and keep his British accent, because it was such a difference, you know, when people would then ask him where he's from. He's from, you know, and I can't do a British accent, but he'd say, I'm from Texas. Why? You know, and that gets, you know, another. And then, you know, in my role running companies, you know, I have so many people calling and try to sell me something. And so many people start off their calls with, hello, this is Keith Walters. I'm with Walters Development. So I'm like, click. So, you know, what kind of creativity can you use in the cold call right off the bat to get people's attention? I remember one that I heard one time that I thought was so great, and I've talked to people about it and used it, is, hi, I'm Keith, and this is a sales call. I'm warning you now. Do you have a minute? And it's like, when I got that, it's like, okay, this is different. I'll listen for a second.
That's awesome. I love that. And just making, sometimes it's actually being more of yourself. Now, here's a really good tidbit that I got from a Sales Edge training in Orlando, being run by Bill Pipes of the Tom Ferry Organization. And we talked about tones of voices, and he was doing this really great presentation on how to talk to people and mirror people and what have you. And so then he started talking about people's natural tones in their voices. And some people just have a higher voice. It's their natural voice. And some people have a sort of a mid-range. And when I'm in my most effective, it's when I'm speaking in a lower tone. And so we spoke to the person next to us, and we just had a little conversation, and then they decided what our most natural voice was. And mine was the low. And so and there weren't that many lows in the room. So I got picked to stand up and just introduce myself on the mic in my voice. And I stood up and said, hello, everyone. My name's Rachel Tipton. And the whole room went crazy. And it was such an aha moment for me, because I was like, oh my gosh, my whole life I've thought that my low voice was so off-putting, but actually I should be playing up on that because it's such a great, everybody was talking to me the whole entire rest of the day of like, oh my God, can you just call our office and just talk to us for a while? Like, your voice is so great. And I was like, what? Because it was all, and normally up until that point, I would make my sales coach and go, hi, this is Rachel Tipton. I'm with BRG and can, na-na-na-na. You know, and that's not my real me. And so people can see through that.
Well, I think there's also, you need to take into consideration is something that I think you've alluded to it before, and it's something that we use in improv training is mirroring and matching. And sometimes you have to use that, hi, I'm Rachel Tipton voice with someone who has that same voice.
Yes.
Because it creates a place of comfort when you have a similar voice. So I will really pay attention to that person's body language and how they talk and then try to match them as close as possible.
Such a good point. Yeah, we went over that in that same training, and I had this client at the time, and she was older and she talked about this fast all the time. So I tried to take that training with me. She used to about drive me to insanity because I had to get slow down so much for her. But she just loved and adored me because I could relate to her. I was slow down.
That's so special.
So Southern. Rachel, I don't think you were at this training that I did back when I was doing a lot of coaching, back when you were a client in that.
You're such a good coach too.
I am. Let's admit it. I did a weekend of, and I know you were at one of them where it was an sales training weekend. And I've done several of those, but this one in particular, I made them do character work like we would do in improv comedy training, where they had to take on a different character. And it's a really cool exercise of this physical, they do this physical, we call it a physicality walk, and they walk around the room and they establish a character based on physicality of, you know, leading the walk with their hands or their knees or their whatever, their chest or their hips. And then they develop a character, and I walk them through the process of developing a character internally until they finally get to a point where they've had to create this persona with a name and age. And then I question them and interview them in that character. And so we do this in our regular classes, but I did in the sales workshop. And then once they established those characters, because our theater is in a mall, I made them all walk through the mall and ask for things. So they specifically had to like go up to like in the food court, and I'm like, okay, you, Sylvia, in her, that, you know, her character name, go ask them for a free beverage. She's like, what? I'm like, go ask for a free beverage in your character. And so I gave them really weird asks. So they would literally, oh my gosh, one of them, you know, those Asian places where you get the massages in the mall?
You know what I'm saying? Yes.
One of them went in there. I'm like, ask for a free massage. And she literally walked in her character, got on one of the chairs and asked for a free massage.
Did she get it?
She got it.
Nice.
And the goal really was, because they were, the majority of the women that were in this workshop were very introverted solopreneurs. And so I was trying to get them to play a character in the ask, in the sales conversation, so that they could just break out of themselves and be someone completely different.
Exactly.
God, I think that's such a great exercise. And, you know, being out of character helps you understand who your base character is better. So that's a great exercise.
I forgot all about that exercise. I need to, I've got several interesting sessions coming up on my trip to Dallas. I might have to bring that one out because I haven't run that one in a long time.
And you know, that also brings up a topic we covered in another one of our podcasts, which is ask for what you want because you might get it.
Yeah, it was fascinating. It was fascinating watching people get things. And a lot of them were super uncomfortable. I'm like, I'm just asking you to ask for a Diet Coke. That's it. You're not this is not a big deal. But it really pushed them out of their comfort zones, and it was pretty creative. And some of them still like refer to themselves as those characters they created.
There you go. You know, you did. I do recall doing an exercise, a similar exercise of just walking that you did with us. I don't think that I was definitely not there.
I don't think you were there when I sent people into the mall.
I don't think so. I don't think I was. But I do. What's interesting that I was thinking about while you were describing that is that when we did do the walking exercise where you took on another persona and just walked like that person, I immediately remember doing it. And it's the persona that I'm working on now.
That's awesome.
So really deep down, and that's what is discussed in this book, The Alter Ego Effect, that there's something that we have an emotional connection to in deep inside that you can play upon. And a lot of really high performing athletes and people in business and artists they draw upon these characters because they don't feel comfortable actually being them. Like Beyonce used to be have an alter ego called Sasha Fierce before she really stepped into her own, because she had grown up in singing in the church, so she didn't feel comfortable being sexy on stage, so she developed another persona until she just is that persona. So sometimes you gotta like just come up with something that will allow you to make those sales calls with confidence, or, you know, do what you got to do, because it does feel disconnected a little bit. You're like, oh, well, you know, so it's Svetlana or whoever wouldn't care. So who cares? And then once you do it, then you're like, well, damn, who cares? And you do it again.
Yeah.
Like
it's interesting.
Yeah, we all suffer from some degree of imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah.
So it's a great way to step away from the imposter syndrome, like you mentioned with Beyonce.
Yeah.
I would be curious for our listeners, to all of our Warners, I would be curious, what are some creative ways that you have, you know, creative selling strategies or creative things that you did? We would love to hear about that. And that's something that we could, you know, message us or put it in on our Facebook page. You can always message us at women your mother warned you about, because I'd love to hear those stories, and we'll share them with everybody else. Well,
yeah, that would be a great way to come up with another top 10 sexy sales tips of creativity.
Exactly. Yeah, so we would love to hear what you've done and that we can share with others. And if you want to get those tips that Keith was so great to remind us about, you can actually download our tip sheet, our 10 sexy sales tips at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, and you can get that there. And it's time for us to wrap up the show. It's shorter than usual, but sometimes you just need a quickie from us.
Definitely.
Thank you for sharing your tips.
Thank you for sharing your tips, Keith.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyhow, by the way, if you guys have not gone onto our website and downloaded any episodes and listened to other episodes, then please go over there and give us a rating and a review. We would love 5 stars. It really helps us out. So go on over there and give us your feedback. And also, as Gina mentioned, you know, we'd love to hear from you. What other topics do you like to hear about? And you can find us on social media, and as Women Your Mother Warned You About, or go directly to our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Which you will find more information there about Keith Walters, or myself, Gina Tremarco.
Or me, Rachel Tipton.
So go check those things out. I think it's time for us to say goodbye. Keith, do you have anything else you want to add before we send you on your way?
I do not, except I hope you ladies have a wonderful day.
You as well.
Thanks, Keith. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And Warners, thanks for listening. We gotta go. Ready to go, Rach?
Ready to go.
All right.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah. It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.